Constitution speaks of speech that's free. Open your mouth from sea to shining sea.
Hello, welcome back to the Parks and Rangers of Public RCR Truth Media Group Reloaded. We've been learning tonight about UN Agenda 21 and Rosa Corey speaking about behind the green mask. She is getting ready to speak about it. Pay close attention. This will make you and help you to understand each and every fight that we're facing in every part of our union. If you would, go ahead and continue with Rosa Corey.
Which is an international group that is made up of local elected officials that never tell you that they're part of this international group, that they have signed on to it. Many, many, many counties and cities, 138 cities and counties in California, are members of this international group, pay dues to it. It's a group that measures greenhouse gases, and it's like you're on the buzzsaw, in the conveyor belt, on towards the buzzsaw. When you get on there, they measure your gases, they can limit you, restrict you, whatever they want to do, and it's all because legislation has been passed in California, AB 32 and Senate Bill 375. Now, that's not just in California for you folks watching. That's all over the United States. They are legislating this. Your government is legislating this so that you are being restricted in your use and your ability to move freely. And federal and state money is being used to build. What's it building? Smart growth. Urban jails that you can leave now. Now you can leave them. How many keys do you need to shut that front door? I heard somebody say, when you're paranoid, you only have to be right once to make it all worthwhile. I wish I was paranoid, actually. You know, okay, so ICLEI, the International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives, they say they represent about 600 million people in the world. You never heard of them. Now, up here in Shasta County, it's a real communitarian thing, by the way. You know, to tell you that your actions are going to be... Makes you feel real powerful, though, doesn't it? That your actions are having such a huge impact on the world. Don't you feel really powerful? All I have to do is have a little gas, and I'm, like, going to kill something. You know, it's heavy. So, okay. So, we got this planning revolution by 2002. Growing smart was in every university, every county, every city, every state. It's all over. It's everywhere. It's having an impact on whether you can build anything you want to on your property or anything at all, whether you can use your property, whether it's now a, biotic view shed, a scenic corridor, whether you can get a septic tank on your 2,000 acres. I appraised a 1,000-acre ranch not that long ago. I looked at a couple of sales. This guy told me, yeah, we got 1,000 acres here. We had to give 400 acres to the county for a land trust. And they only let us put one house on it. 1,000 acres. That's pretty serious, huh? So, you know what you got? Here's how it all works. You know, when I was a little kid, I used to say to myself, all I want to know before I die is how it all works. Unfortunately, I'm getting to know. The transportation AB 32, greenhouse gas reduction, Senate Bill 375, anti-sprawl, together. For the first time, housing and transportation. You want transportation dollars? You better agree to build smart growth and build it where your metropolitan planning organization says you're supposed to. Now, what is that and who cares? A planning organization, a metropolitan planning organization right here in Shasta County, there's 18 metropolitan planning organizations in the state of California. Right up here in Shasta, you've got the Shasta County Regional Transportation Authority. That is one of the metropolitan planning organizations. It's unusual because it's just one county. Most of them include several counties and often break the counties. This is a way to change your government right under your nose. And isn't this what's real heavy about what's happening? We know how to take up arms against an enemy. But how about when that enemy is part of your country and you do not know quite how to get a hold of it? We are losing. Now, you know, we're city, county, state, and fed, right? City, county, state, federal. Now we got regions. Regions. You got your regional this, you got your regional that. You got your metropolitan planning organization, which is regional. They are erasing the lines between city, county, state, and fed, and that is the intention. Because think about this. Loss of sovereignty. It's like your money that you just lost. You didn't really lose it and it didn't disappear. It went from your pocket to somebody else's. Same thing with your sovereignty. You don't lose it and it just evaporates. It goes to someplace else. It goes to the regions. And this is what we have now. We have regional governance, regional government. So what you have then is a loss of control in your local area. So, you know, I'm just going to show you this. This is, everybody's got a general plan. It's a law. You have to. General plan is sort of the wish list, the expectation, the plan for your either city or county. And you have to adhere to that. Now, here's the one for Marin County. It's a pretty county, real nice. Inside, can you see those three circles? Right in there. Right in there. Agenda 21, right in there in Marin County. Marin County is not the only county that's like that. LA County, lots of counties across the nation. So what do you have? You've got Shasta Forward. Now, I don't know how many of you went to the visioning meetings for Shasta Forward. That's somebody's card. All right. Shasta Forward. I don't know if you checked this out. I won't blame you if you didn't, because who can keep up with it? Because this is government by consensus. And the reality is there's no way you can keep up with it. That's the design. They pack those meetings with people who are part of your government or in an NGO, a non-governmental organization, or some kind of a commercial group or something, somebody who's going to get some money from somebody. And then you, the real citizens, make up the minority. And when they all raise their hand, or should I do it like this? When they all raise their hand to agree to whatever plans up there on the board or on your coloring pad, you didn't really get any input. And here you go. You've got your Shasta Forward. Shasta Forward. This is smart growth. This is somehow they all end up looking the same. I can pick up any county in the United States, and it's going to look pretty much the same. Why? Because it came out of that box. That box of model statutes, that box that was already designed before you went in the room. Somehow you guys all agreed to have a more urban... Here in Shasta County, you agreed that you'd rather live in a big city. Yeah, you did. It's funny. I got it right here. You ought to go down and get it from the county. Go down and pick one up and take a look. Okay, who funded it? Shasta Forward, they tell you, think globally. This is rhetoric right out of the United Nations. Think globally, plan regionally. That's a new one. Act locally. Plan regionally. Regionally. That means you have lost your sovereignty. They ought to put that one on there. Lost your sovereignty? Right. You got to go get that and go raise some something. Okay, now I'm going to talk to you about something else. It's very important. I hope you're not getting bored, because I'm not. I came up here from Santa Rosa. I drove, I don't know, what is it, 4 hours, three, 4 hours, because I wanted to talk to you. Thank you for inviting me. And you know, I'm glad to be here. I'm very glad, and I will go anywhere. In fact, I'm retiring, because this is too important. And even though I love my career and I've enjoyed it quite a bit, it's time to go, because this is way too important. I have to do this now. So, and you know what? I'm not the best person at it. I do my very best, and that's what I encourage you to do, too. You just do your very best, because anybody who's out there talking about this is more than nobody doing it. So, as best as you can do it, you do it. So, here we go. We got redevelopment. Redevelopment, the unknown government. Now, how do they impose all of this stuff on you? They use your own money. Okay, with the regions, with the transportation thing, they use SB 375, which is that Senate bill, that anti-sprawl bill, combined with Senate Bill 32. Now, your legislators have created this requirement that you conform. And they're tying transportation dollars to agreement and conformance with Agenda 21. They don't call it Agenda 21. They call it Senate Bill 375 and Assembly Bill 32. But it's Agenda 21. It's the agenda for the 21st century, which gets you out of the rural and urban areas into the cities. And they'll move you first into the smaller cities, and then at that point, they'll start moving you into the larger cities and consolidating you. Now, this is how it works. They use transportation dollars for this. If your county wants any of that transportation money, or if Reading wants any of those transportation dollars that are going to be available, they're going to have to agree with this Shasta Forward thing. They're going to have to agree to design and build smart growth. And they use your money to subsidize private developers. Now, it doesn't matter if nobody moves into those. Remember I told you smart growth is often empty, often bankrupt? Doesn't matter. They'll hold it for you. They're waiting for you. They're waiting for us. They're building the hardscape for the future or the going forward. So another way they do it is with redevelopment. Now, I know that Reading has agreed to what they call paying the ransom to the state to stay in the redevelopment game. It is not a ransom. People who don't understand redevelopment are being fooled and manipulated and lied to about redevelopment. Redevelopment is the unknown government. It is the vampire that never dies. It steals your property tax dollars. Now, you got about 25% of your city is in a redevelopment area. You got four redevelopment areas. 25% of Reading is in a redevelopment area, 15 square miles, 10,000 acres of your town. Now, what does that mean, including a lot of areas that are producing a lot of property tax? What does it mean? I'm going to tell you what nobody else tells you. I'm going to tell you what it means. Because you know what? Those people who sit in your redevelopment agency, they tell you that it's just too complicated for you to understand, and we're just not going to. You just take our word for it. We need it. And I'll tell you what. You don't need it. It's stealing your money. Because the way it works is that, let's just say in 1982, they declare this area blighted. Now, they can declare anything blighted. They hire a consulting firm in that area. That consultant can declare Beverly Hills blighted, and does, and has. Okay, they declare the area blighted, and for the next 30 years, any increase in property tax dollars gets scraped off the top and put into the pocket of the redevelopment agency. Now, you think that stays in your town? They put a few streetlights up, and they make you think that they're spending the money for a good thing, but you know what? 30 years, you're paying off whatever it is that they did, and it goes to bond brokers, and it subsidizes private individuals. Private individuals benefit from your tax dollars. You remember what you were paying for property tax in 1982? 30 years later, here we are. Imagine that. For the last 30 years, all of your property tax dollars above that base year 82 have gone to our unelected officials, redevelopment agency, and is mostly paid to bond brokers. Does not go to police and fire, does not go to keep your parks watered, does not go to keep your street lights on, does not go to your general fund. It's a redirection of your money, and what does it do? It helps to constrict your town to a point where they are willing to go to any agency that's going to give them money and say, help me. Give me some money. I'll do whatever it takes. The feds, come on, feds, give me some money. I'm desperate here. The people are going to kill me. We got to get some money in our town. Now, you say it looks nice. Yeah, it looks nice. It better look nice for 30 to 45 years because that's how long they're taking your property tax dollars to pay it off. I'm telling you, 25% of your town's money is going for that. Now they have to pay a little money back to the state because the state said, hey, we're starving here. You can't just keep taking this money away from the educational fund. Well, you're thinking, did she get totally off topic? I thought we were talking about Agenda 21. This is Agenda 21. Redevelopment is part of Agenda 21. It is at the heart of Agenda 21 because we're talking money. Where does all this money come from? It comes from you. It comes from your property tax dollars. Part of why we are underfunded, part of why our general funds are starving is because our money has gone to redevelopment. Now, we've got that locally, and I told you about metropolitan planning organizations and regions. Okay, we're in a metropolitan planning organization here, but we're talking about something even worse. We're talking about 11 mega regions in the United States. Now, you thought there was 50 states. Nah. Hey, I was in Texas. I said, I'm glad you guys haven't seceded from the union because you got guns. Stick around. Okay, so there's 11 mega regions in the United States. This is what's happening to us. We are losing our sovereignty just the way the EU did. Okay? This is what they're doing. They are changing our government so that it conforms more to the regional model. Because then you want to vote somebody out? You've got a regional board that's got 189 people on it, somebody from every elected city and county in that region. Or if it's a mega region, 11 mega regions in the United States, you think you're going to have any power? You already don't feel like you have any power with your senator or your assembly person. You're not even going to know what state to go to those meetings. But they'll still have consensus meetings. Yeah, they'll wear you out with those meetings. But the real meetings, they don't even tell you where those are. You didn't even know. That there were 11 mega regions. I know you didn't. I hardly knew. This is what's happening. We have lost our sovereignty already. This is the reality. Now, what they do here, they use high-speed rail. Now, I'm glad you're laughing because this is what they do. They sink you. They take your money and they sink you. This is the reality. This is the plan. This is the goal. Is to impoverish us. Remember, one of the three pillars of Agenda 21 is equity, social equity. We've got too much. And we have a long way to fall. And no, honey, it's not just Obama plan. I know it sounds good. And hey, I told you I didn't vote for him. But it's not just that. Power has no party. We're talking way past power. Hey, this isn't just some pony race between the blue and the red. This is way beyond that. That's just something, that's just the smoke, that's the bread and circuses. That's the thing that keeps you looking at your nose instead of looking out there at what you're supposed to be looking at, which is that you are being manipulated into another EU, the North American Union, and then a one world government. This is it. You don't have to wonder where it's going. This is where it's going. It's well on the way. It doesn't matter which one of those guys or that woman gets in there. They are all on board with this plan. All of them. All of them. I know he's talking about it. He's right on board with it. Believe me. Livable communities, sustainable cities, one planet communities, community partnerships. If you have any doubts about communitarian law, let me just remind you of the Kelo decision, 2005. The Kelo decision, remember that? The United States Supreme Court decided that the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution that says that you are guaranteed just compensation if you're taken by eminent domain. You're guaranteed just compensation under the Fifth Amendment, but you can only be taken for a public use. Now, I'll tell you, redevelopment is not a public use. That's a private use for a private individual. But what the Supreme Court said in 2005 was, that's okay. We can use eminent domain because we're going to change the definition of public use. Because it's all for the common good. Yeah, if it makes more money for your city, then it's public use. It's not private use, even though it's given your land to you. But it's going to get all of us more property tax dollars. Yeah, that is, the end justifies the means. But you know what? The truth is, the means are the end. That's what's really heavy. The means are the end. This is what we see here. It's the end of private property ownership. And you know what? I just got this out of the paper the other day. Washington. Americans' wealth takes a big loss. Americans' wealth last summer suffered its biggest quarterly loss in more than 2 years as stocks, pension funds, and home values lost value. At the same time, corporations are amassing record cash stockpiles, $2.1 trillion at the end of September. This is a corporatocracy. This is a takeover of your government by corporations. This is fascism. We are not aware. For some reason, we think it can't happen here. It has happened here. It is happening here. It has happened here. This is what it looks like. A total collapse of our economy, a huge increase in unemployment, a sense that we just don't know what's coming. Youth who do not have any hope of a job, who are more willing to accept a handout, who are demanding a handout. People who expect to get money for nothing. This is what happens. The whole fabric of our nation is being destroyed, and it's intentional. This is exactly what it is, public-private partnerships. Now, the ultimate public-private partnership, as far as I'm concerned, besides the low-income housing that you're seeing built all over the place, that low-income housing, cost them $300,000 to build one apartment. Yeah, you think I'm kidding, huh? $300,000 when a house is going for $150,000. Sitting there, nobody to take it. But your tax dollars are paying public-private partnerships to build these housing developments. They got granite counters. But I'll tell you my favorite public-private partnership. It's in here. Should I say this is a great book? Let's see. Check out the cover. Is that cool? Let's see. Where is that thing? It's public-private partnerships. I'm stalling. It's in there somewhere. I can't remember. Anyway, it's prisons. P-P-P-P. P. Prisons. Public-private partnership. The ultimate in public-private partnerships where your government and a private corporation join together to incarcerate you. And that's a lot of money we're talking about. What do prisons need?
Space.
Prisoners. They need prisoners. And what do prisoners do? They commit crimes. So you need more things to be crimes. Remember those guys at the meeting with the guns? What are they waiting for you to do? Anything. Go fishing or something, I guess. You were fishing. You're going to jail. Hey, you know, deportation? Now, I am in favor of a closed border. Okay, why not? And why shouldn't I be in favor of a closed border? Are you kidding me? I'm in favor of a closed front door, aren't I? You know, I was interviewed by a lot. Libertarians think I'm a libertarian, and they always tell me that. And that's cool. I think libertarians are great. Except I said, you know, I want that door to be shut in my house, and nobody's coming in there unless I say so. And I feel the same way about that border. Now, I think we need immigration reform. I don't think you should have to wait 12 years to come into the country. That's all set up purposely so that people come in illegally. So you get this porous border, little catch and release program. They put them in the privately owned prison for a little 6-month hotel stay, where they get a little on-the-job training about how they're going to come back and do it again and get in better next time and maybe find something else to do while they're at it. That's a lot of money for those prisons. Public-private partnerships, fascism. That's what that is. And we got it. We got it right here. Right here in our towns. We got, they tell you, the green mask. This is what I call it. The green mask. The environmental mask. The green mask. It's all so cool. Everybody's going to be great. You know, I forgot to tell you this, and I know you know, but I'm going to tell you again. Anyway, that Obama, when he was running for office, you'll like this. When he was running for office, he said, we're going to reduce, we meaning us, not him, I'm sure. And none of those people who are running those meetings are doing any of the stuff they're telling you to do. I'm telling you. Okay? They live in single-family houses and drove to the meeting. You, meanwhile, got your donkey out of the... You can't have a donkey, though, because they... That's right. They got gas. So, okay, so there you go. You got Obama. He's running for office. He's making his change. We can believe in. Okay, he's running for office, and he says, we are going to make a commitment as Americans. We're going to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions 80% below 1990 levels by 2050. 2050, first of all, let me just think about that. That's 40 years from now. I don't actually expect to be here to check and see, and neither will most of us. And it doesn't matter, does it? Because precautionary principle, remember? It doesn't matter. This is the green mask. They use it. It's just the hammer. You will conserve. You will reduce. So he promised. He said, we're going to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions 80% below 1990 levels by 2050. Okay, that sounds really good. Let's figure out how we're going to do that. No, we're not going to do that. We're just going to make the promise. And then we're going to come down hard on you. And we're going to raise your rates up through the ceiling. And don't be thinking you're going to be burning wood, because that puts too many particulates in the air, you Redding people. You Shasta County wood-burning types. Forget about it. You better get used to being cold and riding your bike. Okay, so he said we're going to reduce our greenhouse gases by 80% below 1990 levels by 2050. So I found myself a chart, and I looked, and I said, all right, where are we if reducing our greenhouse gas emissions 80% below 1990 levels? What year is that going to go back to? Where are we going to be at? When did we last have greenhouse gas emissions not 80% below 1990? What year is that? What year is that? What year is that? 1934. A stellar year that I'm sure you recall. Was wonderful, I remember. Remember it well. We had nothing. It was during the Depression. We weren't emitting anything. But you can figure that it's going to be even worse than that because there's more of us now than there were in 1934. So if we're looking at per capita levels, we're going to be worse and higher, and it'll be back in the 1880s. Probably. What are they doing to our country? If an enemy took us over and wanted to destroy us, they couldn't do a better job. Taking away, yes, that's right, taking away our ability to fish, to hunt, to grow. Did you know that growing, that putting a seed in the soil, that breaking, that tilling, that breaking the surface of the soil releases greenhouse gas emissions and is unsustainable? You think I'm kidding? I am so not kidding. They have this new way of putting a seed in the soil. It's soil seed injection. How much does that cost? A fortune. Removing you from the rural areas and the suburban areas is the goal of United Nations Agenda 21. And one reason for it, besides all of the other stuff, besides the fact that they want to get you into an area where they can manage you, control you, monitor you, and surveil you, is that you're not going to care about your neighbor. You're not going to stand up when you see your neighbor taken away because you're living in a transient area. And if you rat out your neighbor, if you turn your neighbor in, all you have to do is move a block away and nobody will know. It's about destroying you. This is about destroying your humanity. This is the goal. They are taking their page out of the page of a book that has long been written by Stalin, by Lenin, by Mao, and by Hitler. By Pol Pot, by Idi Amin, by Pinochet. I will say one thing for those German people that will be somewhat of an excuse for them, although they do not deserve it. The Holocaust had not occurred when they created the Holocaust. We have no excuse. Look inside yourself now and find that courage. Because you will need it. We will need it. We will need to know. We will need to know who we are. We will find out who we are. We will find out if we are willing to stand up and say no. And we'll know if we're willing to die. I am willing to die. I am willing to die. And I mean it. I absolutely mean it. And I hope... Because, and I'm nobody, I am nobody. This is about our humanity. This is about being able to survive as a human being. I don't want to live unless I am a human being. And this is what it's all about. We have history behind us to know. We have seen this before in some of our lifetimes. And we know. And we must be vigilant. Communitarianism is very powerful. It sways you with peer pressure. Oh, what's the matter? You're not going to go along to get along? What's the matter? You don't want to be part of the gang? Come on. People would rather suffer physical harm than be rejected by their neighbors. Find your group, and I think you have. When you find your group of people that you can stand with, encourage, this is the important thing. And if there's no one to stand with you, then you be that person for others. Because this is where it's at. Your government is your enemy, and I'm so sorry to say that. I'm so sorry to say that, and I'm afraid to say it too. And that means something to me also, to have fear when I'm saying that. So I want to tell you something about, this is from Growing Smart, a legislative guidebook. I want to tell you this because I want you to know that it's not just me saying your government is your enemy. I want your government to tell you right here that it's your enemy. Your government has written this down for you and told you right here that you are its enemy. Okay, this is from Growing Smart, a legislative guidebook with model statutes for planning and the management of change. Okay, remember that was put out by the President's Council on Sustainable Development. Now, yeah, it came out of the Clinton years, but it doesn't matter. It does not matter. This is the law of the land now. And what they said in this, well, this is the executive summary. You can get this easily. I've got it on my website. It's Democrats against UN Agenda 21. Don't let that stop you. Okay? Now, all right, now what they're telling you here, they're talking about building consensus. That's another one of these buzzword things that they do, building consensus. Building consensus, what is that? That's just creating, they're like creating more and more people that agree with them. Okay, so what they're saying here is they want to educate targeted audiences, that's you, about the value and benefits of planning and smart growth. Okay, they want to indoctrinate you. They're in the process of indoctrinating you. And you're paying for it. And they want to uncover myths used by opponents to misconstrue smart growth. Okay? So that's the other thing. They're indoctrinating you and they're lying to you about what smart growth is and how cool it is and great for you. Okay? Equally important, these are their words, equally important is challenging interests. That's you. Challenging interests that seek to pass new legislation expanding the activities that qualify as regulatory takings and therefore require compensation under the Fifth Amendment of the United States Constitution. Now, what does that mean? They're saying that if you know that your rights are being taken, if your rights are being taken through regulatory takings, and that's by scenic corridors, biotic resources, buffer zones, critical area ordinances, identifications as wetlands, habitats, where you are losing the use of your property and losing the value of your property, the government is telling you that they intend to fight you if you want to try and pass new legislation that protects you and compensates you for the loss of your use of your property. Now, I work for a government agency. I told you that. And that government agency acquires property under eminent domain for road purposes. That is for a public use. And I support that. But when you have your government looking at you as an enemy and saying, if you want to be compensated for the taking of your rights and your use, and we can't afford to pay you. We just don't have the money to pay you. We want to put these corridors all over the United States so that animals can get there, wherever. We want to get those wolves, for crying out loud. You think you're going to be out in the, I think I'll just go take a walk in the woods by myself. See ya later. They're releasing wild carnivores into the woods, into the wild. This is happening all over the United States. They're encouraging it. They are getting you out of the rural areas. Okay? If you want to be compensated for loss of use of your property, they will fight you because they can't afford it. They want to take you and not pay. Regulatory takings. The wildlands is the other half of smart growth. Wildlands and smart growth go together. Main thing is getting you into the city, creating the wildlands is what's going to happen to all the rest of the land in the United States and across the world. And they do it by declaring your area a habitat, by saying that you've got, you know, some fish somewhere, by saying there's some bird in a tree, by saying that you've got some salamander under a rock, by saying that you can't put in a septic system on your 45, 60 acres, 800 acres, 2,000 acres, 3,000 acres, half a country, because you might be a half a mile from a stream. There's about 60 million roadless areas, roadless acres in the United States now, but that's not enough. They're doing this thing in Sonoma County where I live where they are deciding now, the Board of Supervisors has just said that of the 1,384 miles of roads in this rural county, they will only be paving 150 miles. 150 miles of rural roads will be paved. The rest will fall into ruin. They're talking about pulverizing them into gravel. Is that going to affect your property value out there? How's that going to go when you don't have a car anyway? How are you going to get out to your property? How much is that worth? Think you're going to lose that pretty soon? You growing something out there? It better be a pretty high value crop. I don't know what they're going to do if they decide to make that stuff illegal again, because isn't that the only thing that's supporting most of these counties? Where are they getting that money? What are they getting it from, welfare or something? I don't know. Where does that money come from? Yeah, I see it. It cycles. It recycles. It's just the same amount of money recycling all the time. It's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Poverty. This is how it happens. They create the new poverty. This is the goal. The more people on the dole, the more they'll be willing to do whatever it takes to get that money. The less people who own private property, the less people who care if you lose your private property rights. If I'm living in an apartment in Reading, I am not going to care. I'm going to think you're a big pig if you're out there on your 3 or 5 or 6 or 10 acres. What, am I going to feel sorry for you, Santa? Forget about it. That's right. All right, this is the deal. They're using the cover of environmentalism to impose the rigid control of a totalitarian state. That is what's behind the green mask. It's an abuse of trust. And all of us have been abused in our lives, and we all know that it's not what your abuser says, it's what they do that matters. And we see what they do. They may tell us that we want to hear your opinion. Come on down to that visioning meeting. We want to know what you think. No. What happens, what the reality is, what it looks like, is the real thing. And the real thing is the imposition of a totalitarian state. The FBI is doing domestic surveillance right now. The ACLU is fighting that. Make your allies where you can. You don't have to agree on everything. You find the things you agree on and agree and make common cause, because that will make you stronger. You're agreeing with a Democrat right now. It's good. It feels good, doesn't it? Okay, so I want to tell you this. I was in Dallas giving a speech not too long ago. And I like to do this wherever I go. People think Agenda 21's not in the paper, it isn't out there. It is. It's in every single paper, every single day. You just got to know what to look at. In fact, it's real hard not to see it once you see it. Well, here it is in the Dallas, front page of the Dallas newspaper. They're talking about bullying. I forget what the top of this thing was. Schools helping kids thwart bullies. Who wasn't bullied? Raise your hand. Right. Okay, now I'm not saying it's, hey, you know, I told you I'm gay. it's a good thing to be able to go out there. I, first of all, I'm saying I'm gay. I'm not worried I'm going to get stoned in the parking lot. That's an advance. We've come a long way on that one. But, you know, okay, do we have to make a federal case out of it? And here we go. I guess we do. Here's Julie Herzog, director of, and get this. Hi, Julie. The National Bullying Prevention Center. I bet they pay her about $150,000 a year. What do you say? She said national change in bullying will come with a federal law. Whoa! How many six-year-olds are they going to have in those jails? What did you say? It's off to prison with you, young man. That's, they're not joking around. Oh, you got a kid who sent a little naked picture of themselves to some other little kid? They're going to jail. Oh, no, no, I forgot. They're not going to jail. They're going to get identified as a sexual predator for the rest of their lives. That's pretty good. You tell them that on the first date, or do you wait? You know, this is criminalizing the population of the United States. Now, the Germans did it. Tell me they're not using the Germans as their model. Well, they, you know, actually, you don't even need to wonder. You just go to 1984. That's a good one. I mean, the Germans, Stalin. Hey, I got news for these people who are all on board with this stuff, who are smart growth advocates, who are the ones who are bringing you in. They're the facilitators. They're so cool. They're up there with a little name tag. They think they're so great. Not that, I mean, name tags are cool. Forget it, you guys. But I'm talking about the one. No, no. Those other ones. You know, no, I'm talking about the ones who are running those meetings, right? And they think they're really cool. They're going to be the first ones to go after me. Yeah, because that's what they do, the revolutionaries. They take over and they take out their supporters because they're dangerous. Of course, they're going to take out most everybody. Okay, so the this is one other thing I got to show you. You've probably seen this before, but I just love this. This is so cool. This is the tiniest spy plane in the world. It is so cool. The tiniest spy plane in the world. Doesn't it look like a hummingbird? It's smaller than this, this little picture you see. It's smaller than this. I've seen a video, YouTube of it. It's this little tiny thing. It looks like a hummingbird. 8 miles range, an 8 mile range, audio, full audio and video. Fly in and out of windows and doorways. It looks just like a bird. It's a surveillance device. And I'm reading this, it's in the New York Times or LA Times or something, and I'm reading it, and I'm thinking, oh, cool, you know, they're going to be using it to, you know, like supposedly find Obama, something like that. You know, they're looking, whatever. Oh, it's going in the caves in Afghanistan. Then I get down to the bottom of this thing, and it says, it's not likely to be a hummingbird. This is only the prototype. Because a hummingbird is a rare bird in New York City. They're going to use these things for domestic surveillance if they're not already. Domestic surveillance. This is what's happening in our country. All totalitarian states. Excuse me, but can you tell them I'm busy? All totalitarian states share the same 5 or so elements. Okay, all of them do. I always get this wrong. Maybe I'm just not cut out to be a totalitarian. They share total control. First of all, they got total control, right? Of production, of unions, of education, of food. They have total control. Total information. Full surveillance. They know everything. They know where you are. They know how much money you have. They know everything you're doing. They know you're here tonight. That includes, you know, loss of free speech, because of course you're not going to be talking much when you know you're being listened to. They also share the philosophy of everything for the common good. It's all for the fatherland. It's all for the homeland. The homeland. Aren't you I hope you never use that word. All right, it's all for the common good. Individual is selfish. It's all for the common good. This is part of the totalitarian framework. They also share an adherence to a Spartan ideal. We are tough. We are pared down. Decadence is foul to us. We use less. We ride our bikes through the snow. Obesity is going to be a crime. I'm not kidding. You probably lose your kid if your kid's obese. Pretty soon. They also share something else. Two other things. They share the vision of the glorious future. High-speed rail. Yeah. Fresno to Bakersfield, here I come. High-speed rail is designed to waste your money. That's right. Now, your glorious future. High-speed rail, everybody living in multi-story buildings, drinking coffee in the ground floor coffee shop, and watching everybody. Glorious future. Sky's always going to be blue. It's never going to snow. It's never going to rain. It's always beautiful. You're going to be eating your vegetables and smiling. What else do they have in common? Terror. The war on terror is a war on you. It's a war on you. Revolution is bad for business. And this is a corporatocracy. This is a corporatocracy. Fascism. The ownership of government by huge mega corporations. This is now. Communism, fascism, Nazism. This is it. This is what it looks like. What it looks like is this. We don't realize it. We think it can't happen here while it is happening here. So, who's doing it to you? Consultants, your government, nonprofits. There's big money in green. The bicycle coalitions are out there pounding the ground for sprawl, anti-sprawl, for smart growth, for complete streets. Complete streets mean you paint a bike lane down the road and you demolish both sides of the streets and build smart growth on either side. You think I'm kidding? Walmart is a partner. Unions, AFL-CIO in 2001 at their convention, they said they denounced sprawl. We denounce sprawl and we call on all unions to support smart growth. Why? Because most union members are in urban areas. That's right. Churches. If you've got a pastor talking about sustainable development, you better go have a chat with your pastor. Because they're going to be using your volunteerism against you. Because you'll be volunteering for nonprofit groups that support Agenda 21. And you won't even know. That's pretty. The schools and the universities. You know, the churches were treated to a little message by Yale University woman who's got her, she's a woman's name is Mary Evelyn Tucker. She's with Forestry and Religion in Yale, at Yale University. She said, churches need to adapt to the ecological model or disappear. Yeah. Okay, cops, community-oriented policing. This is funded by the Department of Justice. It's probably right here in Reading. There's probably an office. Community-oriented policing, they say they do gang monitoring, but they're designed to do surveillance of local people. What the heck is it with those guys being armed in your meetings? What are they doing in there? You want to ask them, why are you here? Why are you here? Are you here to threaten me? Are you here so that I will not speak up? Or are you just taking a donut break? I dare you. You know, this is a whole life plan, right? It's a whole life plan. It impacts every aspect of your life. It's brilliant. Hey, man, these guys are smart. They have hired the best and the brightest. They've got people writing scenarios that are in Hollywood. They have designed this very well. And I see that most of us in this room are my age or older. Where are the young people? They have been indoctrinated through outcome-based education. They have been trained like dogs. We need... Listen. We need... That's right. We're also being drugged. We are being drugged. I smoked marijuana. I didn't inhale. Or exhale. Oh, that's your problem. But... you know, it takes your energy away. It takes your focus away. It stops you from caring. What a perfect drug for a takeover of a people. It's perfect. Prozac, Zoloft, Wellbutrin. Oh, these are the select drugs of a takeover. They don't want you speedy. Fluoride. Fluoride, whatever. I don't know about that, honey, but I'll tell you what. You're taking these drugs because you can't handle it. Nobody can handle it. Life is tough. It's heavy out here, and we're all going to have to wake up and get sharp. So we're going to be having our voices silenced. I am speaking out while I can, until I can't anymore. Join me. Hey. Oh, wow.
Tomorrow, as always, watch your backs, check your facts, and find Ellis, and have a wonderful night. Welcome to the face of the new democracy. Here in the land of the not so free.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
In the sin, see the word of God.